Well, this morning we're going in our Bibles to the book of 2 Peter, the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 1. Thank you for joining us this morning. And we're going to read verses 1 to 11. Look with me as I read. Verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, and what does it say next? Add to your faith. Add to your faith these things, virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious word of God and for the precious gift of our salvation. And Father, we thank you for your love and for the word of God that, Lord, reveals to us how much you love us and how much you have in store for us and have planned for us. Lord, help us, we pray, to be enlightened by your word this morning. Help us, Lord, to open our eyes and behold, Lord, the richness of the Christian life. Lord, help us, we pray, to add to our faith this year for your glory. And may you do the impossible and supernatural in our lives and challenge us this morning. And help us, we pray. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Well, as we begin this morning, let me share a little story with you about an old farmer who was content with his Christian faith. Now, he had been saved for a long time, but he hadn't really grown. He hadn't grown much past his salvation, and he was content with that. In fact, he would often tell people, look, I'm saved, and I know I'm not doing much, I know I'm not growing much, but I'm well established. Now, one day, he was carting his wood, his timber, on his wagon to the next town, and he got stuck in a bog, and the wagon wheels were bogged in mud, and he couldn't move the thing at all, as much as he tried. And frustrated, he sat on the top of that wagon, discouraged and despondent, because he couldn't do a thing. He was stuck. Now, along came another neighbor, one of his Christian neighbors, who was very concerned about this old man's testimony. He had tried to be encouragement to this man in the past, to encourage him to grow, but he was happy to be where he was. And as he went up to Mr. Jones, he said, Mr. Jones, what's wrong? And he says, well, I'm stuck in the mud. I can't move. I've got nowhere to go. And then he said to him, well, you must be as happy as Larry, because you're well established after all, aren't you? You see, Mr. Jones was happy where he was. Mr. Jones was happy not to grow, but the reality was that Mr. Jones was stuck. He was stuck in his Christian life. You see, if you and I are not moving forward in our Christian lives, if you and I are not pressing on, then in fact the reality is we are stuck. We are stuck. We are not growing. Now, sometimes as Christians, we think that we will naturally grow simply by staying put, by staying still. We think somehow, supernaturally, like the grass, the rain will come down and we will just naturally grow. Well, that is not true. Do you notice what the Bible tells us in verse number 5, which we read together, that little phrase, add to your faith. Add to your faith. Now, last year we enjoyed this wonderful theme, the just shall live by faith. And do you know what God is saying this morning? Well, that's the same theme for next year. Now we have a new theme, but this one continues on. We are to add to our faith. We are to build upon our faith and go further in our faith than we did last year. You see, if you and I don't grow, if we do not make some new choices, some new decisions, some new spiritual goals, then very soberingly we need to understand all the steps of last year will be a waste of time. Will be worthless because we've chosen not to move forward. And this morning God wants to encourage us for the next few moments in His Word to move forward into the new year. Now, I've been listening to the messages that have been preached. I trust they've been a blessing to you. They've been excellent. Thank you, Brother Huey and Brother Andy, for preaching. And you've been challenged as a church to serve God in the new year. Who will you serve? Is that right? Brother Huey challenged you. Who will you serve? Brother Andy said, will you serve at all? Amen. And then, who will you follow in 2017? And I'd like to continue along that line and ask the question, who will you become in 2017? Who will you become in 2017? You see, that is the question that Peter is asking here in the book of 2 Peter. He's writing to these Christians that are saved, that are established. And he's writing to them and asking the question, who are you going to become this year? You need to be careful, he said to these Christians, not to stay put, not to stay where you are spiritually. Because if you do, then you're in trouble. But if you add to your faith these things, then you will grow. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 8, for if these things be in you and abound and increase, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you would have noticed the little picture on the front of our bulletins. We've used it before. There's a tree. Now, half of it is dead. Is that right? It's still standing, but it appears as if it has no life. Barren. Unfruitful. But the other half is fruitful, blossoming, growing. That's the kind of Christian that God wants us to be. So the question is, what choices will you and I make this year? Will we add to our faith? And that's the encouragement from Peter this morning. He opened his letter with a challenge. Don't be stuck. Don't stay where you are. But move into the new year for us and keep adding to your faith. Well, we're going to look at three things this morning. And the first lesson we learn is that we need to begin with faith. We need to begin with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse number 1. Peter opens his letter by saying, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. You see, faith, my friends, is not faith in myself. Or yourselves. Faith, true Christian faith, is not trusting in ourselves, but it's trusting in a person. Who is that person in verse number 1? God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. The word Saviour means deliverer, one that saves. Who does He save? Well, Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. He is God. Notice in verse number 1, God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. God come to earth in the flesh. Why? Because He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless, spotless life, and there on that cross He shed His holy, sinless blood, the perfect, righteous payment to pay for your sin debt and mine. See, before God, we are all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There is none righteous. No, not one. That's why we deserve God's judgment. That's why we live in a sin-cursed world. That's why it's hot this morning. Do you realize in God's perfect creation, the temperature was perfect as well? Amen. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. And thank God for the child of God. One day the temperature will be perfect again. There'll be no more air conditioning. There'll be no more heating. There'll be no more fans. Amen. But you see, today we experience the result of a sin-cursed world. Now, who was it cursed by? By us, friends. We are all sinners. We are all sinners by nature and by choice. And because we have sinned and broken God's laws, as a holy judge, he must punish the lawbreakers. And that's us. The Bible says in death and hell, we're cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That's where we deserve to go. The worst place in eternity. The lake of fire. A place of eternal separation. That is how bad our sins are in the sight of a perfect, holy, righteous God. But here's the good news in verse number one. That through God our Savior, Jesus Christ, we can have faith in Him as our Savior and experience the gift of eternal life. We can receive Jesus Christ's righteousness. What does that mean? Well, you see, the Bible tells us that the moment we repent of our sins, we say sorry to God for our sins, and we turn away from our sins and turn to Jesus Christ and ask Him to save us once and for all, the Bible tells us that we are saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. And when we call upon Christ to save us, to forgive us for our sins, the Bible says that we receive His righteousness. His perfect, holy righteousness becomes our own. Not because of anything good we've done, because He paid for our sins. And we receive His perfect righteousness. And when God looks upon the Christian, when God looks upon that child of God, we no longer appear in His eyes as condemned sinners. We appear in God's eyes as if we have never sinned because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter was talking about in the first verse. He was writing to Christians. Let me ask you this morning. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ as personal Savior? Has there been a time that you chose to turn away from sin and to turn to Christ as your Lord and Savior once and for all? Have you received the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Well, if you have, then it ought to be precious. Isn't that what Peter said? It ought to be precious to you. In fact, it changed Peter so much, he called himself a servant. Notice what he said in verse 1. A servant. Look, if you are genuinely saved, then there is a change in your life. Not just in what you say, but in how you live. Amen? There is a desire to be more righteous. There is a desire in 2017 to grow a little bit more. Is that right? Now, if you're a Christian, you ought to at least want to. Perhaps you haven't taken steps to yet, but you ought to at least want to have a want to, a desire to grow more, to be more for God. Now, the lost person wants more for themselves. The saved person wants more for God's glory. And that's what Peter was saying here. He's saying, look, if we've received Christ's righteousness, it ought to be so precious to us, we ought to want to be more for God this year. Amen. In 2017. Friend, do you have eternal life? Have you not made that decision yet? If you haven't yet, let me encourage you not to wait. Make sure you make that decision today. To ask the Lord to forgive you for your sins and call upon Him as your Savior. The Bible says the only way we can do that is by faith. By faith in the Word of God, in the revealed divine Word of God. And once you receive Christ as your Savior, you will experience the forgiveness of sins and an eternal change in your soul. the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, we need to begin by faith. If you are a Christian, secondly, we must add to our faith this year. Would you agree? We need to add to our faith. Now, last year was a wonderful year, a year of trials, a year of testings, a year of blessings, a year of God's goodnesses to us. But what now? What do we do? Well, we are to add to our faith. We are to go further in our faith than we have before. Notice verse number 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Notice the word diligence. Now, what does that sound like? Sounds like we need to do something, is that right? All diligence. Now, doesn't that contradict what we think? That if we just stay put, stay as we are, then we'll grow. Isn't that true? With all diligence, okay, there's something that needs to be done. With all diligence, that word means don't delay, hasten, do this now, Peter is saying. Don't wait till 2018. Don't wait till the return of Jesus Christ. With all diligence, add to your faith. The word diligence is the opposite of, that's right, slothfulness, laziness. Now, how many of you are like me and you find that it's hard to be energetic in the summer? Is that right? Or am I alone? I better not lift my arm too high, because it'll reveal that, yes, we are hot this morning. How many of you are like me that you realize that it's hot and look, we launch into a new year and spiritually we may have a desire and a want to, but physically our body isn't following? Well, the good thing is that we can add to our faith spiritual virtues, spiritual traits that will move us forward in the Christian life despite our physical body. Amen? Because what God now talks about, what he wants us to add to our faith, are spiritual traits. And he gives us 7 of them. Amen? A divine number. 7 of them to add to our faith. And this is how you and I can grow in 2017. All right, are you ready? What does God say? What does he want us to do? Now, you may say, Pastor, look, I think I'm all right as I am. I'm well established. Well, just like that farmer, you're stuck. You're stuck. Now, think about a house. A house may have a wonderful, perfect, solid foundation. Is that right? And you probably have seen houses being built in Cairns, some down south, some up north. There goes the foundation. It's laid. It's ready for the next step. And you may see some more elements being put up. But what good is that house if it's half finished? Is it any good? Yes or no? No, it has not fulfilled its purpose. Now, the foundation is laid. Yes. The beams may have gone up. There may have been some brickwork put in. There may have been some more building elements placed in there. But if the building does not continue to build, would you agree that house is useless? It won't sell. In fact, you'll probably become the victim of a wrecking ball. Be pulled down. That happens to some houses as well. And our Christian life is the same. Our foundation is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says we are to build upon that foundation gold, silver, and precious stones. We are to build upon that foundation those things that please God. And as we grow, amen, we continue to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. And Peter becomes very specific here by giving us 7 things to add to our faith. All right, firstly, notice in verse number 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue. Now, the word virtue means excellence. Those things that are excellent spiritually, those things that are virtuous, those things that are pure and that are true. Well, what is Peter saying essentially? He's saying that I want you to go further in your life, in your Christian life, and I want you to add to your faith those things that are excellent. What's he saying? He's saying in 2017, don't set the bar where you set it last year. If you want to see God do the supernatural, you need to set it up here. Now, how many of you are a little bit nervous this year as you head into the new year and you're wondering, how am I going to do this spiritually? How am I going to go further spiritually? I've got some spiritual goals and I have no idea how God will be able to do this in my life. But these are my desires. How many of you are like that this morning? I trust you are. I trust you have some spiritual goals. And guess what? You started the year on the right track. Because God says, I want you to aim high. I want you to set in place those things that are of virtue. Those things that are spiritually pure and good. You see, as a tree planted by God, God wants us to grow. He wants us to blossom. He wants us to be a tree of life. And the only way for a tree to grow is up. Amen? But God says you need to be diligent. Christian, have you set any spiritual goals for yourself this year? What are some more excellent things that you are seeking to aim for in 2017? What are they? Whether you've written them down or not, what are they? Do you have any spiritual goals at all? You know, I'm afraid so often when the new year comes around, we look in the mirror and our number one spiritual goal is, hey, I need some exercise. All right, let's mark that down. Okay? The Bible does say that bodily exercise profiteth little, but he doesn't stop there. Does he? No, God says we need to add to our lives spiritual things which profit much, much more. You see? So often our goals are out of whack. They're not in order spiritually. Maybe a goal for yourself this year is financial freedom. Financial freedom. I want to be more comfortable financially this year, and I want to feel better physically. So often these are our goals, aren't they? Yep. Isn't that true? To be more comfortable, to be more let's just say physically well, or to be more active. Usually those are our goals. But how many of us have spiritual goals this morning? How many of us have a desire and a little bit nervous about what God has laid on our heart and are expecting great things from God? Add to your faith virtue. We need to keep growing. Is that right? We need to keep moving forward. We shouldn't stay where we are. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, I press toward the mark. That's what he said. This great Christian, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Friend, are you pressing forward into the new year? Have you started by adding to your faith virtue? Are you excited about the theme next year? Are you anticipating with anxiousness what God has for us? Believing that He can do the impossible if we simply are diligent in following through? Add to your faith virtue, more of God. Notice secondly, add to your faith knowledge. Knowledge. We are to add to our faith knowledge. Well, knowledge of what? Now, there's lots of things to know in the world. There are lots of books out there on the bookshelves. There are lots of resources on the internet for the child of God in 2017. What does God want us to know more about? Is it about the financial state of the world? Does he want us to know more about world history? Well, that's fine. Does he want us to know more about current affairs even, or the latest happenings in the news? Yes, there's nothing wrong with keeping abreast of what's happening. But what is the key of growing in the Christian life? Notice verse number 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of whom? Of God and of Jesus our Lord. You see, God wants us to add to our faith knowledge. Knowledge of God. He wants us to get to know God more. Amen? He wants us to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's His plan for our life for this year. To add to your faith. To add to my faith. To grow in our faith. To get to know Him more. How do we do that? By spending time in the Word of God. Look, if you spent time in the Word of God last year and you read through your Bible in a year, fantastic. Now we need to do it again. Amen? Amen. We need to spend time in the Word of God. We need to open our Bibles and spend time with the Lord and allow him to speak to us. I guarantee you that every verse in the Bible did not speak to you last year. I guarantee you that you did not understand by faith every verse in the Bible. Would that be right? Or is it just me? You see, this year God has more to reveal to you. And it can only be revealed, those hidden truths that are precious, those hidden gems, that gold that God wants to reveal to you and enrich your life with, they can only be revealed as you add to your faith. You see, if you and I stay where we are, guess what? We won't dig up a thing. Imagine a gold digger going out and standing in the river with a pan in his hand. Or he stands on the ground with a shovel in his hand and goes, let's see what gold rises to the top. Well, it won't. We have to be diligent. Amen. We have to go after it. We have to spend time in the Word of God. We have to seek after him with all of our heart and spend time in the Word of God. Knowledge. Knowledge. The Bible tells us personally we need to walk with God. Now, corporately as a church, we need to meet together. Amen. You see, God has given us a place to grow. Now, if you put a plant, say a palm tree, for example, in a small pot plant, what do you think will happen? That's right. The growth will be stunted. Its growth will be stunted. Why? Because the plant's meant to grow much more than the confinements of a small little pot plant. And you see, as Christians, so often what we do, we limit our growth because we are not in the place of growth. We limit ourselves. We miss out on God's best for us because we are not in the place of growth. What is the place of growth for the born-again child of God? It is the local New Testament church. The Bible tells us that he's given the church for the edifying of the body of Christ, the building up, the growth of the church. Here, together, on Sunday morning, night, Wednesday night, yes, that's right, three times a week, we are built up in the knowledge of God. We get to know him more. We get to know his word more. We come to a greater understanding of the word of God and the person of Jesus Christ. But if we are not in church, we are stunting our own growth. Do you get it? We're stunting our own growth. We've limited ourselves. We're like that old farmer that thinks everything is okay, but in fact we're stuck. We're stuck. Add to your faith knowledge. What does that mean? There's much more to know this year about God. Amen. There's much more exciting, wonderful truths. Well, notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. What an exciting verse. You see, there are promises that you've not discovered yet in the Word of God. And maybe you read them, but as Brother Huey mentioned in one of the messages, your eyes did not open up to it by faith. You may be saved, but you haven't looked at that verse by faith and going, wow, you mean if I seek God first and his glory, the kingdom of God, then financial freedom will come as a result of that? What does that mean biblically? God will provide for all my needs spiritually and financially. I'll be fine. He'll provide for a roof over my head and food on my table and clothes on my back. He'll provide all of my needs, whatever he sees fit for me as a Christian, if I simply serve God. That's biblical financial freedom. Now, the world uses that term to say, when you're filthy rich, you'll be free. But God says, oh, don't worry, I'll look after your finances. You follow me. You add to your faith knowledge. Amen. You add to your faith knowledge. Know me more. That's what we need to do as Christians. We need to get to know God more. We need to get to know him more. And guess what? Pursuing money will restrict your Christian life because you won't have time for God. Is that right? You will restrict yourself. I need more money, Pastor. All right, you've restricted your growth this year. You're stunted already. You haven't added to your faith virtue. No, you've added to your faith covetousness. You've added to your faith worldly desires and lusts. The Bible says here for the child of God that if we are saved, we have already escaped the corruption of the world through lust. We've already escaped that lust. If we go back to it, what are we doing? We are capping, limiting, stunting our spiritual growth. So what does God say? He says, spend more time with me. Spend more time with me. If you need to sit down and have a conversation with your boss, an honest, humble one, and say, look, these are my conditions. Friends, you are not a slave to your boss. We do not live in Egypt under taskmasters. Amen. You have the right to tell your boss which days you do and do not work. They do not have the right to treat you like they own you. Amen. Who owns you, my friend? That's right, the Lord Jesus Christ. He bought you with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. You've got the right before God to humbly and honestly tell your boss, look, I'm not able to work on these days, these times. Because why? You want to add to your faith this year. You want to grow. You want to be in church more. Amen. But you need to add. You need to be diligent. You need to do something. Something you perhaps have not done last year. To be in church more. To be in the Word of God more. To be more faithful. Adding to your faith virtue. Knowledge. To get to know Him more. If we don't get to know Him more, then we're stuck. And we're stuck. I trust you have a desire to know God more. All right, thirdly, temperance. Temperance. Now, the word temperance means self-discipline in spiritual areas. Self-discipline. Now, if we aim high, amen, we add to our faith virtue. And if we desire to know God more and we get to know Him more, guess what? God will help us to be more disciplined in those areas of our lives which we are not disciplined in. Now, all of us, would you agree, have one or more areas of our lives that need work. Is that right? All of us. There are areas of our life that have been left undisciplined to the side. We've neglected them. Maybe it's our thought life. And, you know, the same tempting thought, whatever it may be in your imaginations or mine, the same one comes up over and over again and we're not dealing with it. We're not dealing with it. Let me ask you the question. Is your body in control in 2017 or is God? Is your body in control or is it God? The Apostle Paul said, but I put under my body, which means to beat down my sinful flesh. I put under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. The Apostle Paul was saying, yes, I battle too against the flesh, but I am diligent to put it down, to beat it down. How? By the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you and I have a sin problem in our lives, in our thought life, we need to be more diligent this year to memorize the Word of God. Amen? That's how we can have temperance, self-discipline. Add to your faith self-discipline. I need to be more disciplined in the Christian life. I hope you do too. Would you agree? I need to be more disciplined with my thought life. I need to be more disciplined. That ought to be a desire for our lives this year. Spiritually. Add to your faith temperance. Notice next, add to your faith patience. Patience. Now the word patience means to endure. To be constant. You know, one of the interesting things about living in Cairns is that because of the heat, we tend to have less patience. Is that right? It's easier to get more frustrated and irritated and physically tired in the heat. Is that right? And when something happens that we don't like, it's easier in the flesh to snap. When you're hot, when your body is already heated up. You don't need an argument to heat you up. The weather's already taken you there. And you're hot, you're irritated, and your flesh is already there. And we have a wonderful opportunity in far north Queensland to learn what it really means to have patience. Amen? To learn patience, to add to our faith patience. Because we know, more than others perhaps, that we can't live the Christian life up here in the flesh. It's impossible. Our flesh is too irritated. We need the supernatural power of God. And God will work in our life to help us to trust in Him. To be more patient. To be constant. To not give up. James chapter 1 tells us that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You see, God has some tests for us this year. Some brand new tests of faith. Wow. And when he allows those tests of faith to come, God is saying, do you trust me or not? Are you going to wait on me? Amen. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. A constant reliance upon what we know of God. You see, these virtues are like branches on a tree. So we have virtue, we have knowledge, we have temperance, we have patience. Each one connects to the other and is built upon the other. If we know more of God, then we will trust more in him. Is that correct? So we will be more patient if we add to our faith knowledge. We will be more temperate if we know God more. See, it's so important to add to our faith this year. Patience. We are to run the race with
patience.
Amen. We are to wait upon God and trust in him more than last year. More than last year. When God sends a new trial your way, you know what God is saying? He's saying you're ready for the next level. That's what he's saying. He's saying you're ready. I'm not ready, Lord. That's what I'll say. I don't want this, Lord. Lord, I am not ready. And God says you're ready. You've graduated to the next class. Amen. In the school of faith. You're ready for that next class, whether you like it or not. And I will work a work in you, but we need to be diligent, to be patient. To be patient to allow God to give us the strength to see that trial through. Friend, don't run off. Don't run from God in 2017. Amen. Don't run away from God. In fact, run closer to God. That's what Peter's saying. He's saying, get closer to God. He's saying, add to your faith those things that are excellent. Know God more. Be more disciplined in your Christian life, temperance. Be more patient with God. Look patiently on the Lord. And then fifthly, godliness. Add to your faith. Back in 2 Peter chapter 1, notice the fifth trait. Add to your faith godliness. 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 Is that right? Godliness. What does that mean? Well, the word means, and it's not complicated, God-likeness. God says, I want you to be more like me. If we are saved, we are in Christ, and the Bible tells us that God wants us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I don't like this idea in Christianity today that says we need to be more like the world in order to reach the world. In fact, the Bible tells us, add to your faith godliness. Be more like God. Wow. What does that mean? Be more strict in those areas that you and I are loose in. You know, when we go somewhere and we're convicted, man, I don't think I should be here. I don't think I should have come here. Guess what? God is saying, next time, don't come here. What would the Lord Jesus Christ do? Would the Lord be in such a place? Amen. Would the Lord be found in a pub drinking with his mates? Yes or no? The Bible says, add to your faith godliness. Would the Lord be hanging out around the corner having a smoke? No, he would not. Add to your faith godliness. Would the Lord Jesus Christ be hanging around places at night time where we shouldn't as Christians? Where the world hangs out and listens to worldly music. Would the Lord Jesus Christ be involved in this activity? What would the Lord Jesus do? That ought to be our question. That ought to be the question we continue to ask when we make decisions, more so in 2017. Is that right? Godliness. Add to your faith godliness. If there's one thing that we ought to be known for as a church here in Cairns, it ought to be that these people are more like the Lord Jesus Christ in their godliness and how they speak. Amen. In what they wear, in their attitudes, in their manner, in their heart. We ought to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Godliness. When Moses stood before the Lord in front of the burning bush, what did God say to Moses? Take thy shoes from off thy feet, for the ground where thou standest is holy ground. And brethren, for the Christian, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That means all ground is holy ground. And Peter's saying, add to your faith more godliness. Be more strict. Wow, that doesn't sound good. My flesh doesn't like that. Be more strict. Be more disciplined. Do that which pleases God more in 2017. And if you put into your life that which pleases God, guess what? You're going to grow. Amen? You're going to grow in your Christian life. We all have things in our lives that are displeasing to God. And those should grow less and less in 2017. And godliness should grow more and more. Is that right? Is that what the Bible is saying? Godliness. All right, let's move on to the sixth trait. We're almost there. God is exercising our patience. Amen. This morning. All right, number six. Brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. We are to add to our faith brotherly kindness. Now, here is the first virtue, spiritual trait, that involves others most directly. Would you agree? Brotherly kindness. This means being kind to your fellow brother, Christian brother or sister in the Lord, fellow Christians. That's what the Bible is saying. And Peter's saying, I want to encourage you. You need to love the brethren more than you did last year. Amen. You need to love the people of God more. You need to add to your faith. We lived by faith last year. Add to your faith brotherly kindness. All right, let's turn to another verse. Romans chapter 12. We haven't looked at many verses this morning. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse number 10. Notice what the Bible says in Romans 12 and verse 10. Another wonderful verse on this subject of brotherly kindness, love among the brethren. Notice verse 10. Let's read it together, shall we, out loud. 1, 2. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. So God wants us to love one another. Not as much as we did last year, but even more. God wants us to grow in this area of brotherly love and kindness towards fellow Christians. Now, how do we do that? You might be here this morning and you might say, Pastor, well, you know, I don't really know how to do this practically. What does that mean? Do I just say, hello more, or get to know them more? Or do I give more gifts to the brethren? Or what should I do? I mean, do I just write a card more often? Or how can I do this practically? Well, notice the verse number 10. Notice the word preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. The word preferring means to lead the way. Now, that's an interesting truth. The word prefer means to lead the way. To put that person before yourself is how we use the word, but the word used here means that you lead the way by example. Now, that's an amazing truth. Preferring one another. As you grow as a Christian, get it, what God is saying, as you grow as a Christian and put God first, you are, in fact, doing the best that you can to love and encourage your fellow brethren. And that's what we so often miss. When we think about loving the brethren, so often we think, well, we ought to maybe buy them a new sofa, or maybe we ought to, collect their mail while they're away, or maybe we can write them a card or bake them a meal, and that's wonderful. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying any of these things are bad. But, loving the brethren, true Christian love, means you and I growing in 2017. Now, isn't it exciting? Here's a practical way to think about it. Isn't it exciting when someone who gets saved starts to serve God? Yes or no? Isn't it exciting when someone who's been a Christian for a while starts to serve God? Is that encouraging to your faith or not? Amen. Is that a blessing? Does that knit the church closer together? Yes or not? Preferring one another means you and I growing. Christian, if you are not growing in 2017, you are harming the brethren. And there are people in the church that come into the church that cause harm, and pastor has the right to ask them to leave. Now, sometimes I have time to explain why. But when there are people that come into the church that cause harm, they need to go. Because God says, add to your faith brotherly kindness. And the kindness of the Christian is to be an example of a Christian. It's to be one that does not set a stumbling block before others. Now, none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. But God says, watch what you do in the church. Be careful, because it's my church. It's my church. You are to be an example. Amen? You see, the Christian life is serious. God holds us accountable. He says, I want you to go forward with leaps and bounds. And by doing so, that is the greatest way to love your brethren. Now, flip that coin around. Isn't it a discouragement on Wednesday night prayer meeting when only maybe about five people turn up? Yes or no? Momentarily, it's a discouragement. Then as a pastor, I look to the Lord and I say, thank God I've got a few men to pray with. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together, there I am, there in the midst. Amen. But it is discouraging. It's Wednesday night. Where are the brethren? Amen. To join together in prayer and in fellowship. Where are the brethren? Leading by example. Leading by growing in their lives. You might say, pastor, I'm struggling. Well, add to your faith this year. Okay, the answer isn't to drop out of the church. The answer is to grow in godliness. The answer is to say no to some things and to say yes to God. Brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Doesn't mean just shaking someone's hand and saying hello. Hey, we ought to greet one another. Don't get me wrong. But there's something much deeper than saying good morning on a Sunday morning. Is that right? Something much deeper. As you grow as a Christian, God will show you how you can be a greater blessing to your fellow brother and sister in Christ. God will show you how you can be a greater blessing to them and a greater encouragement. But lead by example, Christian. Lead by example. If you were just following last year and you were saying, look, I could never be a Christian like that person, or look, pastor can live by faith, but I can't. You need to throw that foolish idea out the window. Because Peter's writing to the average Christian. Add to your faith. Add to your faith. This is for you and I. Add to your faith. Brotherly kindness. If you choose to grow this year, you will be the greatest blessing in the best way to the brethren in this church. What an amazing revelation. But we know it already, don't we? We know it. We know it practically. Let's continue to grow and be an example together. All right, lastly, charity. Charity. The word charity means love, but it's the greatest kind of love. You see, we need to love others with a sacrificial love. Back in 2 Peter chapter 1, the seventh trait is this word love. So you see, God wants us to be more loving. How? How? With the love of God, which is an unconditional love. The word charity comes from the Greek word agape, which is the unconditional love that God showed to us. The Bible tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says that he loved us first. The Bible says that herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. You see, God loved us. He loved us first. And that's the kind of love that God calls us to love the unlovable with. You see, it's easy to love the brethren. Sometimes it's not so easy. We need to be the example. But now God is talking about loving those who don't deserve to be loved. God is now talking about loving others like we have been loved. We don't deserve God's love. We don't deserve his salvation. And there is a world out there who doesn't love you, but yet needs to hear the gospel. There is a world out there that is lost. And you and I need to love the lost with the love of God. We need to love the lost dying in sin. We need to go out and reach the lost with the gospel. We need to get to know our neighbor. We need to make time and sacrifice in order to love them more with the love of God, in order to be a witness for Jesus Christ. We need to love others even when they hate us in return. The Lord said, ye have heard of old time that it has been said, love thy neighbor. But I say unto you, love your enemy. The only way that we can do that is to add to our faith this supernatural love. Now, only God can add to your faith this kind of love. Pray, Lord, help me to love my neighbor. Help me to love that person who's just sworn at me when I wanted to give them a tract. Lord, help me to love them with the kind of love that you love me. The more you and I exercise that desire to add this to our faith, we will grow in that agape, charity, love of God. Does that make sense? You and I have to have that desire to add this to our faith. Lord, help me to love the unlovable more. Friends, we are here to be a witness. We are here to be fruitful for God. Is that right? God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to add these things to our faith. Notice in verse number 8, as we close, for if these things be in you and abound, which means to increase, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the promise of God. If you are diligent to take steps in these areas in your Christian life and depend on God to add to your faith, you're not going to be barren this year. You will bear fruit. That's a promise of God. Would you agree? That's one of these exceeding precious promises. That's one of these wonderful, precious promises from God He has for us to claim. If we add to our faith, we will be fruitful for Jesus Christ. We will grow. That's a promise of God. Pastor, I can't grow. I've grown to my limit. Well, that's not true. That's not true. Pastor, I'm so discouraged. I think I'm just going to fall into a pit. That's not true. You can add to your faith. Amen. You can be revived. All you need to do is to call out to God. All you need to do is with a genuine heart to seek Him. These things are not new in the Christian life. God says, keep adding. Keep growing. We must start with faith. We must add to our faith. And in closing, we will fail if we don't add to our faith. Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You see, there's a warning in verse 9. Peter is no prosperity gospel preacher, is he?
No.
He ends with a warning. He doesn't end with a promise. He ends with a warning. There are these virtues in this section. He says, if you do not add to your faith, here are the consequences. You will be blind. Now that word blind comes from the word short-sightedness. Spiritually, if we do not grow, we will go backwards in our Christian life. If we're not growing, we are going backwards. We're not staying still, in fact. We will go blind. How blind? Spiritually blind. We will not be able to see afar off. What does that mean? Well, we will not be able to see the consequences of our sinful choices as Christians. We'll think that this sin is not so bad because we're not growing in godliness. We'll think, hey, look, this sin is not so bad. I once thought it was, but actually I'm experiencing it now. It's not that bad. And we cannot see afar off and the consequences which are just around the corner. Wow. That's what will become of us as Christians. Blind, cannot see afar off. We will not be able to see the eternal destiny of the lost. They won't seem so lost to us when we get comfortable as a Christian. We won't have such a desire to be a witness because we're not adding to our faith. Is that right? Well, hell is real, but I don't want to think about it. I'm blind. I'm spiritually unable to perceive the reality of eternal judgment. You see, as a Christian, we can become blind. We're short-sighted. We cannot see the consequences. We cannot see the eternal. All we see is what's right in front of us. Our job, our money, our physical needs, our feelings, our comfort, and we have become spiritually blind. And sadly for many Christians, that is the very place where they are comfortable in remaining. The wagon wheels are stuck in the mud and they think that it's okay. And Peter says, get out of the mud. Amen? He says, add to your faith in 2017. You will be fruitful. But if you choose not to grow more than last year, you will become blind. In fact, the greatest tragedy if you remain in that condition, verse number 9, you will forget what greater salvation that you have in Jesus Christ. You will forget and be, in fact, doubtful whether you are even saved. That's what happens when a child of God walks away from God and ceases to grow. You will forget that you have been purged from your own sins. What a tragic outcome. How many of you would like to live in doubt in 2017 about your salvation? No one. What a tragic condition to be in. I mean, our salvation is sure. Our salvation is sure in Jesus Christ. But Peter's saying you can get there by not growing. That's a promise of God. Friend, we will fail if we do not add to our faith. That's the challenge this morning. Will you add to your faith this year? A sobering warning. But once again, here's the promise. Notice verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never, what's the next word? Fall. There's the promise again. Peter said, look, I'm sure none of you are going to make that choice to not grow this year. I'm sure none of you are going to make that choice because the consequences are too great. You cannot lose your salvation, amen. But you can become so blind, your life is an absolute mess. And Peter's saying, listen, be diligent once again. This is God's calling upon you, that you be partaker of His divine nature. If you do these things, you shall never fall. You will never fall into spiritual blindness. Amen? You will never fall into that condition of a backwards, stuck, unfruitful, barren Christian. Wow, what a wonderful promise. Just add to your faith. It's simple. Add to your faith. And I like this last verse, verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now get it, the Greeks used this phrase to describe the entrance of Olympic champions arriving back into their hometown. The Bible tells us that we are all to run the race by faith. Is that right? Yeah. And the Bible tells us that we are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the Bible tells us that one day we will arrive at the finish line. Every born-again child of God will enter into heaven, but not every child of God will have the same entrance. That's what the Bible's telling us. That those who add to their faith will have an abundant entrance. What does that mean? That there will be those who will be rewarded and rejoicing, and there will those Christians who do not add to their faith that are spiritually blind, and they will be shocked at their entrance into heaven. They will be ashamed before the Lord Jesus Christ of His coming. They will be concerned and mournful at the judgment seat of Christ. But that doesn't have to be our situation, does it? We can add to our faith. Friends, the Christian life is serious. Serious. Amen? If it wasn't serious, I dare say many of us wouldn't be here. Some of us need to make some big decisions this year. 2017 needs to be a brand new year spiritually. Spiritually. That's what Peter's saying. Add to your faith these spiritual virtues. Add them. And you will be fruitful. Some wonderful promises of God for us to claim. Perhaps God has revealed to you one or more areas that are very personal, very needful. Let me encourage you to make some decisions this morning. Let me encourage you to say, yes, Lord. Lord, I'm going to say yes to you. That's the first step, isn't it? Saying yes to God. Surrendering that sin to God. That wrong thought, that wrong relationship. Surrendering that undisciplined area of your life to God. And saying, yes, Lord, I surrender that to you. Lord, I want to grow. Lord, I want to be fruitful this year. Is that your desire, Christian? Let me encourage you to make some decisions. If you're here this morning and if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ the Saviour, the most important thing, my friend, is to trust Him once and for all today? Do you need to make that decision? He is waiting. Jesus is ready to save. Are you ready to receive him?